They remade the movie The Thomas Crown Affair, but it was an original movie back in the late 60s. And it was a hit. There's a young guy, 20-year-old bank teller, in Cleveland at the Society National Bank who watched the film, and he thought, I could rip off a bank. Yeah, I could do exactly what happened in that movie. I love that movie. Remember, it was Steve McQueen, and he was just a great thief. And he decided to rip off a bank. And apparently, on a Friday in 1969, he walked out with, today what would be $1.7 million, but $215,000. And for 52 years, he disappeared. Until now. This was one of the most famous bank robberies in U.S. history. And Peter Elliott, U.S. Marshal from Northern Ohio, is one of the lead investigators. He and his father, who was the investigator originally, cracked this 1969 bank robbery mystery open. Marshal Elliott, Peter Elliott, first of all, thanks for your work in law enforcement. We always appreciate that. And thanks for joining us. How did you get interested in this case?
Well, literally, since I was probably 7 years old, you know, growing up, that's the only thing I heard from my father was he'd be like, pass the mashed potatoes, and when am I going to get Ted Conrad? So Ted Conrad actually lived in our same neighborhood where we grew up. He had the same doctor my father had right around the corner, and, you know, he used to work at a ice cream store around the corner where my dad used to take us as kids. So my dad was on this. My dad was a dedicated deputy U.S. Marshal from 1967 to when he retired in 1990.
Oh, so this was your backyard. This was under your dad's nose. This was his case.
Yeah, I think that's what really kind of aggravated him. It was, in, you know, his pursuit.
Okay, tell us about the case. Like, before you solve the mystery, like, because this thing has been bedeviling law enforcement for decades and decades, 52 years. What was so special about the crime at the time?
I think it was unique, you know, at that time in 1969. They literally didn't fingerprint bank tellers yet. And Conrad was never fingerprinted, worked at the bank. He was a 20-year, he turned 20 the day after, you know, he robbed the bank. And, you know, he walked out the door with $215,000, which, like you said, would be worth about $1.7 now. And was never seen again. He just disappeared in thin air, so to speak. And, you know, the pursuit was on from there. And the pursuit was on from there with my father.
Okay. They knew who he was. It's not like he was a mystery guy. What was his, like, what did the investigation do originally? Where was his family? How come he was so hard to trace?
Yeah, they were all over the country. But, you know, he literally in 1970, we found out now, you know, went and walked in, which you could do back then, and was able to give a fake name and get a Social Security number. And then he started his life as Thomas Randell. And with that Social Security number, built up credit throughout the years and became that other person and basically hid in plain sight, you know, since around 1970 that we could tell.
So he leaves Cleveland. He's a kid. He never contacts his parents again, his friends. Like, he erases his identity. He Conrad becomes Randell, Thomas Randell. Kind of interesting. He takes it from the Thomas Crown Affair, right? Thomas Randell.
Right, yeah.
Like, nobody knew anything about him?
Yeah, he just disappeared in thin air. Now, we're going to kind of what we call reverse engineer this case. Now that we have everything, we're going to go back in time to see if there was anybody that was in contact with him and kept in contact with him. You know, we don't think so. But, yeah, he was very good at what he did. Again, his wife and his daughter right now, you know, they're devastated. Think about that. They have to live not only with his death, but then the revelation that he was somebody else. They still carry the fictitious last name.
Wow. Okay, what happened to him? What did he do for these last 50 years?
Just like what he did when he was younger, he had the same quote-unquote hobbies, golf. And he turned out, in high school, we knew he was very much into golf. He turned out to be a golf pro, you know, under Thomas Randell. He was a smoker back then. He ended up eventually dying of lung cancer under Thomas Randell. He was into luxury cars. We knew that because of the Thomas Crown Affair. He loved that movie. He modeled himself after, you know, Thomas Crown, and, you know, that's why I believe he took his first name. But he sold luxury cars as Thomas Randell for about 40 years.
And was he a decent guy? Like,
yeah,
like, was he just like a normal guy that's like, you know what, yeah. I can rob a bank and basically stake myself to a future? Or in the pursuing decades, did he reveal himself to be a criminal?
Yeah, eventually he gave a deathbed confession, basically saying that his real name was, you know, Ted Conrad, and let his family know that. As far as I know, everything I know about the guy, he's a good husband and good father.
He's just a good guy that saw an opportunity. So, like, he didn't, like, embezzle. It wasn't like in the subsequent years, now that you look back, well, in the, you know, he was a criminal. This is like his one criminal act, and then he goes and lives a normal life?
Yeah, as far as we can tell, again, that's what it appears to us, you know, as of right now, and from everything that we've learned. But, and he regretted that mistake. He wrote a letter right after 1969 to his girlfriend saying he thought he only had, you know, six more years and so many days to go. It was a couple of days after the robbery because he thought there was a statute of limitations. He didn't realize that there was no statute of limitations once he was indicted. So we have that letter. So we could tell he, you know, in the letter, he regretted it. He regretted doing what he did. It was a dare for him. He, you know, it was a dare for him as a 19, 20-year-old kid. But, you know, everything doesn't end like the movies. It doesn't end like the Thomas Crown Affair. He ends up dying of lung cancer and went bankrupt.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. Speaking of Peter Elliott, the U.S. Marshal from Northern Ohio, who was one of the lead investigators, helped solve the 1969 bank robbery that was modeled on the Thomas Crown Affair that his father worked on his whole life, basically. God, this is the weirdest case, isn't it, Peter? Like, it's so odd. When did you know you had him?
As soon as I walked in that house. And, you know, I talked to the family, and it was revealed that, you know, what his true identity was. And we knew. I kind of knew from before that when we matched up signatures from 1967, the New England College records that my father had kept, where Conrad went to college, and a 2014 federal bankruptcy court case where he signed it. You know, people's signatures really don't change no matter what names, you know, they go by in their lives. And that obituary was so telling in itself. Just, you know, he used the same date of birth as 7/10 of 49. 7/10 of 47. And Conrad's date of birth was July 10th of 49. Wow. In the obituary, he said he was born in Denver. That's where Conrad was born. Said he went to New England College. That's where Conrad went to college. And he said his parents were Ed and Ruth Beth Kruger Randell. And his real parents were Ed and Ruth Beth Kruger Conrad.
Wow, like he was in plain sight. Did your dad, is your dad still with us? Did he live to see the closure?
Yeah, unfortunately, he did not. And he died in March of 2020, you know, a career deputy marshal, very decorated. And, you know, I'm proud of my agency and what they've done, what my father did. And even on my father's tombstone, the one thing my father wanted was his deputy U.S. marshal badge painted on the tombstone. So he was dedicated. And at the end of the day, he helped solve this case. If he didn't have those records from New England College and kept those original records, we wouldn't have been able to match up the signature.
Well, it must have been great as a son, though. Like, for you, that feeling, this was more than just a case for you, wasn't it? It was about your dad.
Right. And yesterday, I was able to close that warrant, and I signed it on the bottom. And I said, sign my name, Peter J. Elliott, and I put underneath, on behalf of John K. Elliott. So, proud of my dad, the work that he did. He's not around to see it, but somehow I think he knows.
He does know. Peter Elliott, U.S. Marshal. That brings a bit of tear to my eye when you do that for your dad. U.S. Marshals, they're going to get their man 50 years later. They get their man 52 years later. Peter Elliott, thank you, sir. What a story.
Okay.
Good work. Stay safe. Stay safe
Take
out
care.
There.
See you guys.
See ya.